to catch us up to speed, because this saga is a long, winding one. One day in the distant past, God had come to the camp of Abraham and Sarah and had promised them a great lineage and lush green lands. And this promise for kin and for country to call their own, this promise fed the spirits of Abraham and Sarah and the spirits of their children and their children's children and their children's children's children and on and on. And down the generations, the sons and the daughters of Abraham and Sarah, they survived on this promise. They survived on this hope that though the days be unkind, and though troubles should buffet, God would bear them through every hardship. God would bring them out beyond all woe. God would bring them out to a better life. This promise, this hope, it had rooted itself in their psyche. This hope had taken hold deep, deep down, so that this hope and this yearning, more even than their blood or their family name, this hope, this yearning, it told them who they were. To be a son or a daughter of Abraham and Sarah, it was to be a child of the promise. Skip ahead some. Now, Abraham and Sarah, they had gone the way of the ancestors, as had Isaac and Rebekah, as had Jacob and Leah and Rachel, as had Joseph. Their descendants, the great-great-great-grandchildren or something, the great-great-grandchildren of the promise, they were waiting still. They were waiting and they were hoping upon hope that God would make good on the word she had sworn in ages past. They were hoping upon hope. They were hoping hard now. For they had gone through hell. They had lost everything. You see, famine had struck. Famine had struck and had left their cupboards bare and left their children to starve. And so the sons and the daughters of Abraham and Sarah, they fled in search of food. They fled. And their desperate flight, it ended in Egypt. In Egypt, but where an only grimmer fate awaited. For the Pharaoh there, the Pharaoh enslaved the people. The Pharaoh put them under a yoke of bitter toil. The Pharaoh broke their backs. The Pharaoh broke their spirits. And the sons and the daughters of Abraham and Sarah, they could only weep. The children of the promise, they groaned and they grieved what their life had become. Again, skip ahead some. Skip ahead to today's story. Now, God had broken the bonds of the people. God had cast off the chains of the children of the promise. God had freed them from the cruel Pharaoh. God had sped them away from their captors. God had sped them across the Red Sea. God had delivered them. God had delivered them, and so at last, at long, long last, the sons and the daughters of Abraham and Sarah, they could see it. They could taste it. They could see, they could taste all their dreams about to come true. God would settle them in a land all their own. God would establish them there, and God would prosper their cities and prosper their fields and prosper their flocks. God would make them into a mighty nation. God would build up round about them a great civilization. God would mold its laws. God would set justice and mercy as guiding stars. Everything God had promised to Abraham and Sarah, everything Abraham and Sarah's posterity had hoped in and had ever known to pray for, everything they had ever wanted, it was in sight. The deepest desires of their hearts were ripe for realizing. The people stood at the far edge of the promised land. They stood there and they saw it all. And God said to them, go forth, go on ahead. There are flowing rivers there for you. There are flashing seas there for you. There are lovely meadows. There are looming mountains. There are forests and farmlands for you. For you, for your family to grow in and to grow old in. It's the good life. It's what you wished for. It's what you, it's what your forebears have always wanted. So go. Go. A brighter future is about to unfurl before you. And one from among the great-great-grandchildren of the promise, Moses was his name. Moses said, yes, let's go. God, you lead the way. But God would not go. And Moses said, God, what are you waiting for? This is it. This is the time, onward and upward. But God would not go. And Moses said, God, we can't go without you. God, we won't go without you. You've brought us here. You've brought us this far. We can't do it alone. But still, God would not go. God would not go, and God would say only, I'll send a guardian angel. I'll send a guardian angel out ahead of you to guide you. A guardian angel to blaze a way through the brush. But Moses said, God, how could we go without you? God, who would we be without you? Moses said, if you yourself will not come with us, do not carry us up from here. Moses said, we would sooner die here. We would sooner die in the desert than have it all and not have you. For the children of the promise, they were not willing to gain the world if it meant losing God. The sons and the daughters of Abraham and Sarah, they would sooner give up their birthright hope in a homeland than give up God. They would deny themselves their dream. And not only their dream, but their parents' dream, and their parents' parents' dream, and their parents' 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 dream. They were willing to walk away from all they had ever wanted. And you know, it should be said that what they wanted was not wrong or evil. On the contrary, the dream of a great lineage and lush green lands, the dream of kin and of country to call their own, the dream came from God. It was God who promised them this. It was God who put the idea in their head. It was God who planted the desire in their heart. God was the source and the fount of their yearnings. So I don't think God was punishing them or threatening them or playing take back seas or playing tricks. But I think God was was confronting them with the truth that God and the good gifts that come from God, that these are not one and the same. That it is possible to have one without the other. It is possible to be poor and to be bereft, but to be rich because God is with you. And it is possible to have everything, but to have nothing because God has gone. It is possible, for the good gifts God gives to so captivate us that God is crowded out. And so, at just the moment when the sons and the daughters of Abraham and Sarah, just the moment when they were to inherit the blessing which generation after generation after generation had begged for, at just that moment, God takes a step back. And God takes a breath. And God says, be sure not to confuse me for the gifts that come from me. And what means more to you in the end? What means more to you? Me or the stuff you get from me? This is hard. It is a haunting, convicting truth that our lives, no less than theirs, that our lives could be filled to overbrimming with blessings, that our cups could runneth over, and yet we might be empty. This is hard. It is a haunting, convicting truth that stops me dead in my tracks the way it stopped Moses then. That I could know every gift from God and not know God who gives them. That I might have life and then go to heaven and have life after I die. That I might have my good health, and if not my health, then have perhaps wholeness of soul. That I might have family and friends, and if not family and friends, then perhaps have some measure of contentment with my solitude. That I might have even a church like Old South and all that comes with it. Have the stunning, soaring music and have the grandeur and the beauty of this sacred space that I might have the warmth of community, have the familiarity and the comfort of ritual, that I might have the satisfaction that comes from service and duty, that I might have the joy of helping others, that I might have tranquility, that I might have it all. Have all that church promises too. That I might have it all. Have all this. Have everything I could ever think to ask for or to imagine. That I might have all I hope for. And have a hole inside even still. And I wonder if all of it were stripped away. Of this, and if God stood before me in sheer poverty with nothing to show for God's self and with empty hands and not a thing to give, and if I had to choose, and we think we don't have to choose, but I wonder if sometimes we do, or if we might ever, if I had to choose between all I had ever dreamed of and God. Would I say what Moses and what the sons and daughters of Abraham and Sarah said? Would I say it? And would I believe it? Would I believe it? That the good God promises us and the good God gives us, that this all pales before the good of God's own presence. This is hard. It is a haunting, convicting truth that beneath and beyond every good gift God would give us is God waiting and offering the gift of God's own self. Beneath and beyond every good gift God gives us is God, who would be worshipped and be loved by us, not because that's what we think we should do or that's what we think we must do, not because we think we might get something as a result, certainly not because we think we'll be burned to smithereens if we don't. No, it's beneath and beyond every good gift God gives us is God, who would be worshipped and be loved by us unconditionally. Unconditionally. Because after all, that's just what it is to be loved by somebody. That's just what it is. That's just what love is. To share in feeling something warm and sweet. To share in feeling something which makes you act awkward and strange. To share in feeling something you fumble to put words to and that is indescribable in the end. That's just what it is to love somebody. To share in feeling something that is its own reward, which is an end in itself, which serves no grander purpose, which does not do anything or accomplish anything, which just is there to be enjoyed and savored. God would be cherished for God's own sake, for no other reason than that God is God. And even God knows the difference, can feel the difference between saying, "Help me, oh thank you," and "I love you." Even God, every once in a while, likes to hear those words. God, I choose you. God, I love you. Amen.